Let's take a look today at Daniel 2 and verse 4. Then the Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." In ancient Babylon, the Chaldeans were the philosopher kings of the empire. They were the wise men, a special segment of the population who claimed to have access to the secrets of the universe and to the minds of the gods who governed it. Given the culture of ancient Babylon, it's easy to see why the king would keep a bunch of Chaldeans in his stable. He was a king who was almost always at war, forever at risk of facing a rebellion or uprising from one of the conquered nations. It was important to Nebuchadnezzar to be able to predict the future. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, God pulls back the curtains of the universe and gives the king a dream that actually does this. It actually predicts the future. In 2,500 years, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar experienced has never been wrong. Not even once. In very striking terms, God shows the difference between one who really knows and people who simply think they do. In the middle of the night, the wise men are called to the bedchamber of the king, and the moment they arrive, the flattery begins. "O king, live forever." Even though Nebuchadnezzar doesn't understand it yet, the dream has just shown him, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that he will not live forever. His kingdom will eventually collapse, and after centuries of human attempts to build empires, God will sweep aside faulty human government and establish the kingdom of Christ, who is the only king that will actually rule forever. In the opening verses of this story, you can see the two sides of a great controversy between light and dark lining up side by side. The men who practice the dark arts, the ones who have fallen in love with their own minds and who follow the artificial light cast over this world by the Prince of Darkness, they walk into the room claiming to have all the answers and make overtures of eternal life. The expression "live forever" was commonly used by the ancients to describe their king, and that's partly because of a desire to flatter, and partly because ancient emperors were usually treated as gods. So you have whispers of a serpent in Eden in the king's bedroom that night. But at the same time, you have a startling revelation from God, the truth about our universe and man's place, all wrapped up in a dream about the second coming of Christ. And Nebuchadnezzar is presented with a choice that night. Either Lucifer is telling the truth, or God's word is. And even though you may not have experienced a vivid prophetic dream, you are still presented with the same choice today. Because almost all of us have access to the things that God has revealed about Himself and His kingdom in the pages of His book. So ask yourself a question. I know the world offers a lot of solutions and a lot of promises, but over the last few decades of your life, how many of those worldly promises have actually brought you fulfillment in your life? How often has utter self-sufficiency actually proven to be valuable? How many answers to the most important questions in life do you really have all by yourself? And how many of us have managed to circumvent the ultimate reality of living on a sinful planet, the fact that we're going to die? Those are questions worth asking, because eventually you're going to have to ask them the same way Nebuchadnezzar did all those centuries ago. And the sooner you ask them, and the sooner you discover the truth, the sooner you're going to realize that God's offering you a much better way to live.